Hey, you've passed the halfway mark. Give yourself a big thank you. As we head into session 4, gratitude continues. I am grateful for you. Namaste.
You know what to do. Get comfy. Find that little place. Doesn't have to be on your chair. Be wherever you want it to be in your room. All right, so if it feels like you need to, right, shoulders up and back. Get the spine a little bit long. All right, take the breath in. Yeah. For some of you, this might be the only break maybe that you've taken today. I hope not, but maybe it is. So do it again. Inhale. Let it go, right? It's like that valve. Let it go. Make sure the jaw is nice and released, right? It doesn't have to be completely open, but just a little bit released. Let the eyes soften. And just start to settle back into your own breath. So maybe for some, you know, settling into the breath is easy, and maybe for others it's not so easy. Or maybe sometimes it's easy and other times it doesn't feel so easy. We sometimes come to a breath break or a meditation with, you know, we're still in that energy field or energy level of high energy. So even right now, if you're finding it a little difficult to just be still or connect to your breath, I would encourage you to get up, move around, move some energy around. You can walk around, you can move your arms and legs around, and then come back and sit down and try it again. Because quite often, if we're forcing the situation, it may not happen, right? So do what you need to do. Well, as we come into breath awareness, have the intention. This is why we do this. So have the intention of being here, being present, and taking full advantage of this next hour. You know, sometimes the intention can be, it's my intention to take away exactly what I need today. And we might not know what that is, but try it. See what shows up. Start to witness your breath. Breath moving in and out of the nose. If you can allow the breath out to be just a little bit longer than the breath in. And then very slowly, we'll just start to allow the eyes to open. Looks like some of you wanted to stay there. Are you practicing this on occasion? A little breath break? Yeah? Feels nice? It's not bad, eh? Yeah, it's not bad to just take a few moments to step into some silence every now and again. And think about it as the reset button. So when we start to elevate, right? What was the intention this morning, you know, during your meditation? You know, are you still kind of in that mode of intention, or have you completely drifted away from it? So just think of these 3-minute, 5-minute breath breaks maybe as something we can practice when we need it and to hit the reset button. Okay? Hello, Cassandra. Glad you made it. Good. So I'm just going to do a little review of what we went over last week. We went over, and a little bit of your homework too. And I'm going to want to open this up for discussion in a moment. But the homework was to really start to pay attention to our words. So we start to become the witness, right? We start to become the witness of our words, the words we're actually speaking, the thoughts that we're thinking. And, you know, we can even extend it into, you know, what am I eating? Am I doing the exercise that I said I wanted to do? So it's that too. But mostly we talked about the thinking part of it and the words we're using. And we also talked a little bit about the I am statement as our thoughts and what are the I am statements I'm using. Was I able to stop and maybe shift those if I didn't like what I was hearing, what I was saying? And did I actually stop? And maybe did I even write it down? And that brings me to the journal that I hope that you all were able to either create or buy and start to use it. So let me just unmute everybody if I can here. And if you would like to add any comments. So I think for right now, how I would like to see this unfold a little bit is, first of all, let's open it up to the witnessing awareness part of it and include the I am statements. So does anybody have anything that they want to share with us? Did we find any I am statements? You can maybe just do that and then go ahead and talk away if you had anything. Anybody? That's okay. I have lots to say, so no issue there. I can talk all day. Steph, what would you like to say?
Well, the biggest one, we were talking about gratitude. So I am grateful, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Comes back to that for me.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about grateful then. I mean, did you notice this week? Did anything kind of new show up for anybody? Or were you surprised maybe that, wow, you know, the more I look around, I'm pretty grateful for that. And maybe this isn't new for you. Maybe it's just not. But for some, it's something that maybe we haven't practiced in the past. So if anybody has any comments about that, that would be good too. Yes. Vicki?
I've been doing grateful for a long time and likely since the first time that you and I did our one-on-one initial meditation coaching. It's incredibly grounding. It really works for me. So there are times throughout the day. It's not just the beginning of the day, the end of the day. There's times throughout the day that I find myself saying, I am so grateful for. And particularly during this time that we're all in. I think there is so much to be grateful for. We need to focus on that and not what is not.
Right. Yeah. Awesome. Good. I agree. You know, another statement that I love during this time is I get to. Just that statement in itself. I get to go grocery shopping. Still. Not how we're used to it. Does it take longer? Yep. But we get to eat still. Like, there's all kinds of things that you can say, but I get to have a hot bath. I get to. And just that little phrase in itself, for me, brings on more gratitude somehow. I like it. Instead of, I have to, just say those words. I have to go grocery shopping.
Yeah.
Or I get to go grocery shopping. It's different.
The choice.
Say I get, it's like, yeah, it's a pleasure then, right? Instead of I have to. Now, are you going to use that for everything? I get to wash my son's undies. Yay, I get to do laundry. Yippee, right? Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean, right?
I feel grateful for I get to work from home because I could be in another area that isn't as safe. So
in the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So actually, probably more likely the long-term care homes. That's where they're deploying people to.
Okay. Yeah. So how wonderful is that, right? So yeah. And have you all been using the gratitude in the morning and and in the evening? Yeah.
I didn't get a book. I just am using the notepad on my phone.
Perfect. Whatever works, whatever feels good. Some people like the physicality of the writing part of it. Mm. Some people prefer, you know, this or this. It doesn't matter, really. It's just the message and how it connects with you. Erica, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I just felt like it. I've noticed in myself that when the thoughts that enter your head, you can feel like sometimes they're the sense of lack, like you're lacking this or you're lacking that. But if you change the perspective to one of abundance, then it brings in a sense of joy and appreciation. And that sort of changes in your body.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what I...
Yeah. And that's a perfect word too, right? So what does it bring to us? Joy. Yeah. When we practice gratitude. Thank you. Yeah. Does anybody else have any comments or questions around the I am statements, the gratitude, the journaling? We'll talk about meditation in a moment, but yes, Mary Lou?
It was actually a question from the first class, which I didn't get a chance to ask you last time. I think you said not to meditate too late in the day, and I was wondering why.
Well, it depends really what time you go to bed. Like if you're
I go to bed early,
like
9:30, 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Then. So we're not meditating to fall asleep.
Oh no, yeah. But 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, yeah, is that too late? Okay. No,
that's fine. Okay. Early evening. So late afternoon, early evening is fine. It's when we start to do it maybe too close to bedtime, and then it becomes more maybe of a sleep tool, or you know, it can give us energy. So we don't want too much energy at 8 or 9 o'clock at night if we're going to bed at 10. Right?
Can I ask?
Yeah. Barb?
I was curious, on the other end, in the morning, how much importance you put on doing it right away as opposed to like getting the coffee going first. Because I find it very, if I try to do it immediately, I feel like I'm half asleep and I'm not meditating. I'm just falling back asleep. I feel like if I actually kind of wake up a bit, then I feel like I'm meditating more. Is that, or is that just my imagination? I don't know. But if I've tried a few times to just kind of start right away, and I just feel like I'm sleeping almost.
If you feel that coffee's necessary for you, then I would say have it.
Not even the coffee, just to do something so I'm a little bit out of the sleep mode, because if I'm still half asleep, I don't know. But then I was thinking maybe there's some magical thing that happens before you wake up. Am I closer to my whatever state? Okay.
No, you've got to create your own routine.
All right, so then.
Many people get up and shower first.
Okay, so no guilt there.
Yeah, a lot of people have a coffee, and
all right,
people will spend an hour before they meditate.
Okay, so that's not a problem.
Because
okay, good.
And for many people too, you guys, when you wake up, for many people, when you wake up right away, all you are already in go mode. And I know for me personally, some days my mind's already here. I'm at the computer, I'm working. And I sit in meditation and I go, well, would it be better if I just took 10 minutes and did that thing? And sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So you've got to create your own routine, because if we are not creating our own routine and we're following some meditation law, which there isn't really any, and it doesn't work for you, you're not going to continue with it.
Yeah. Okay.
You aren't. So yeah, create your own. Right?
Okay.
Okay. I found
done that a few times where I find myself asleep against the wall.
Uh-huh.
And like a half an hour, and I can't tell if I was meditating, dreaming, or sleeping.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm somewhere in between. So now I get up, I wash my face, okay, do some essential oil, get the scent going, and then I'm better to arrive.
Yeah.
But I know if I go and get busy, then the whole day starts and I just can't get back.
Mm.
So it's better to kind of, for me to kind of use some of that kind of slowness to the morning to arrive, because once I get busy, then my brain starts. But I have to do something to break that sleepiness.
Yeah,
and washing my face, I find, just kind of refreshes me.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, Jen.
Yeah.
Something like that is terrific to do. Yeah. You know, stay away from the phone as soon as you wake up. I mean, this has become a craze. People are sleeping with these things. They're on all the time. And then it's the moment you wake up, it's like, geez, I wonder what's going on Instagram. Who cares?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder who's texting me about what? But that's a habit. Mm-hmm. And so we need to break the habit if we don't like the habit. And especially right now. Oh, newsfeed. Oh,
yes.
No, because that can set the tone for the day. Mm-hmm. And if that's the tone you want for the day, that's fine. I don't mean to say don't pay attention to news and be updated. But how are you starting your day? How do you choose to create your day? So this is the best way that we know how. So Cassandra, did you have something you wanted to ask?
Yeah, I wanted to get back on gratitude. Mm-hmm. I have been complaining about the weather a lot. So this week I decided that I was not going to complain anymore. Every day I would just accept each day as it came and just wake up and say, what a beautiful day I am blessed with.
Nice.
And so far, I am very lucky to say that I have not done it. I have not complained, but I've been enjoying the weather as it comes. So I'm very grateful for every day, whether it's cold, warm, you know, it's still my day. So
still your day, regardless, right?
Yes, exactly.
Like whatever's going on out there is going to go on out there. Whatever's going on out there is going to go on out there. What changes it is this.
And yes, what I was complaining about is I couldn't go outside as well as I would like to, and in, you know, just be that butterfly that I am.
Mm-hmm.
Just have to stay like the cocoon, and you know. So, but this week is a beautiful week. I'm not complaining. I am very grateful.
And you know, too, you know, if we just can use that statement, well, you know, well, that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I know some people don't like that phrase. It is what it is. But it is happening. So it's acceptance of what's happening, too, which is all part of living and life. It is happening. And if we can accept it, and are we prepared to deal with it, the ups and the downs and all of that stuff, right? And are they ups and downs? Are they good and bad? Or is it just, it just is?
It just is.
It's our perception of it.
Mm-hmm.
I liked what you said, Cheryl, about choosing what you feed yourself.
Yeah.
Emotionally, yes. Mentally, food-wise, exercise. And sometimes when I wake up before I meditate, I lay there and I think about, you know, in gratitude, what am I going to choose to feed myself today? Like, what's that message that I am wanting to be? Mm-hmm. And I found that a really powerful thought. And I think about that throughout my day. I stop and think, what is it I choose to feed myself?
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good. Like
yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. And our meditation practice itself. So we were at 12 minutes this past week, right? So how's that been going? Anybody want to chime in on that? Anybody have anything they want to say? 12 minutes, does it seem to go quickly? Is it torture? Is it?
I find I'm always surprised that it gets to 12 minutes. I'm using a little app on my phone to tell me.
Okay.
Because otherwise I would be looking to see what time it was.
Okay.
So yeah. There's a certain point when I think, oh my God, this is going on for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, that's it. It's mm-hmm. over. So I find, you know, adding the 3 minutes each time has really helped me to stay sitting longer.
Okay, good. So just kind of ease on into it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks. Anybody?
It's all good.
It's all good?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad to hear, Bev. Good. Has anybody wanted to stay a little longer? Mm-hmm. 20 minutes? Yeah. And have you?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Couple of extra minutes.
Okay. I should have probably stated that at the beginning. You don't have to stick to, you know, the small increments. I would encourage you to, especially if this is new for you, because, you know, if we jump to 25 minutes and all of a sudden you don't have 25 minutes in a day, this is when we stop the process. So ease into it. You know, it's like years ago I went and did that course or whatever at the running room. Like somebody said, oh, you're going to be running 5K. Well, I'd never really run. And so I was like, well, there's no way I can run 5K. That's ridiculous. And yet when you do it with the small increments, like you, the first week we ran 1 minute, we walked a minute, we ran a minute, we walked a minute. And then the next week, and we walked 5K. And then the next week we ran for 3 minutes. We walked for a minute, ran for three, walked for one. Next week, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 and one. And the 10 and one became the norm. So when you ease on into it, it's like, oh my gosh, I just ran 5K and it didn't even faze me. Hmm. Right? Yes, Steph? Yeah.
So is it better to spend more time in meditation then? Like, is the duration, are we trying to get to half an hour ideally, or what?
Yeah. Yeah, ultimately, it's recommended a half an hour in the morning, a half an hour in the afternoon. And typically, if we were to hear that right off the bat, what would you say?
It's too much.
Yeah, do you mind? There's no way.
Yeah.
I don't have 4 minutes to go to the bathroom half the time. A half an hour in the morning, a half an hour in the afternoon. So when we ease into it, it's like, oh, okay. And we may not get to half an hour. Mm-hmm. That's okay. I often do 23 minutes. I just pick 23. Not 20, it's not 25, it's 23 minutes. Right?
But anything is better than nothing, right?
Mm. Yes. So if you are rushed for time, right? Like today, I went from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, all day. And I have something at 7 o'clock tonight. And it's like, what? I did that. I did that. That's okay. But I didn't get time to meditate this afternoon. So I went outside and did exactly what I just shared with you guys earlier. I hit the deck, I put a blanket down, and I went, and I set my alarm for 12 minutes. Did I meditate? No, I just enjoyed the sun. So that's what I did. So it was a break. That's okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And take advantage of that sun while it's out there, because it's snowing yesterday. So by the fireplace with the blanket over, right? So anyway, yeah. If you've only got 5 minutes, I would just say, just go do it. And if it feels like I've only got 3 minutes, do the breath break.
Yeah.
Hit the reset button. And especially if you've had a really busy day and then you're going into a busy evening, what happens quite often? I'm going to cancel. I don't want to do it. I can't do that. I've been going all day. I can't do that. But you've made a commitment to somebody, maybe, or to yourself. So find that 4 or 5 minutes and reset the button. My intention to do what I chose to do today or tonight, and have some fun with it. All right, and then take those few minutes just to breathe. And you just notice how you feel. You know, you'd be partway through your evening and you might be the life of the party and you go, wow, okay, well, where did that come from? That came from taking that break. That came from giving yourself permission to stop, whether it's 3 minutes, 5 minutes. Don't get used to that, though. Don't make that your meditation. Mm-hmm. But if that's all you've got, just do it. Jennifer, mm-hmm. you have something?
I had a question about the mantra piece of it. So I found that Om Vardhanam Namah, like I just get really fixated on it. So if I'm meditating and then I have thoughts and I just think, okay, well, I'll let those thoughts pass. And it's almost like I get more fixated on the mantra to block out thoughts. And then it just becomes like the thought is the mantra. And then I can't get rid of the mantra. And I wonder how that's supposed to evolve. Is it that you're supposed to keep saying the mantra to block out other thoughts? And then you just repeat the mantra for the whole meditation? Or are you supposed to even just stop the mantra and just let the silence?
Question.
I'm just curious.
Great question. Because the mantra is there to be used during meditation. So it's not to block out a thought or anything like that. It's a silent repetition, Om Vardhanam Namah, right? So it's just, we just start to kind of sweep it in, Om Vardhanam Namah. And then you'll have a thought, Om Vardhanam Namah. You'll have maybe a visual of something, you know? You might have a picture of something in your mind. Just, we just notice it and we just come back to the mantra quietly, gently, easily. And then there may be a time where you notice that there's silence. And that is another thought. Oh, where'd the mantra go? Oh, maybe I was in the gap. And then you're right back up into activity in the mind again. So then we go, oh, go back to the mantra, right? Om Vardhanam Namah. And it might drift away. And all of a sudden it might just turn into Om.
Yeah.
Vardhanam, where was I? That's another thought.
What was it?
Yeah. What was it again? How did that get spelled? And then you have a conversation. Then, oh yeah, Om Vardhanam. You come back to it gently, right? Gently. But even, you know, start to listen to phrases like, oh, I got to block that thought out. Nope. No pushing. No forcing, no blocking. So thoughts are part of the process. And that's a good thing, you guys. It means we're alive. Really? We're thinking. Yeah. So thoughts are part of the process. And the sooner that we can accept that they are, the better we'll be, right? And you may notice as you start to extend the time that you meditate, you may find, you know, maybe the first minute or two, because we're not counting minutes either. So we don't know if it's 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 8 minutes, might be more active. And then all of a sudden, the alarm goes off. I was shocked this morning. I was over here meditating and I thought I was having a really active, like mindful, which is an interesting word that we use for meditation because full. I thought it was really active and, you know, it's getting a little bit frustrated in that, oh, come on now, let's just meditate, come on. And I'm repeating the mantra and then the alarm went off. And I thought, wow, there must have been a period of time that I just wasn't aware. And so that's that place of the gap, right? That's that place where we go.
And I ask.
Yeah, Barb. Yep.
This is going to sound, I think, a bit odd, but when you say the gap, I'm literally picturing like here on the top of my head that there's a spot. Is there a location?
No.
Okay.
It's in the mall, but probably closed. No.
That's not a certain
it's
spot.
It's not a physical place in our brain or anything.
Okay.
But we think of it, look at it this way. You know the old reel-to-reel projectors, right? So if you've seen that film, there's a picture, and then in between that picture, there's a space. But when you run the movie, there's no space, right?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
There's no space. But if you looked at that film, there's a space in between. So if you can think of that, there's a space in between each photo, but there's a space in between each thought. I think of that as our gap.
Okay.
It's the gap in between the space, or that's the gap in between the space in between each thought.
Cheryl, can I ask a question? Yes. Mm-hmm. Is it like, I mean, for me, I've played sports in the past and I do art, and I find that I can reach this place where it's like I'm not thinking. Mm-hmm. And it seems like with meditation, it's a similar kind of place that you get to. Are they similar in that way? Because I feel like they're similar. Like it's like your prefrontal cortex and all the language stuff, it seems to drop. And then you get into the rest of your brain.
Mm-hmm. So when we are, and it's interesting that you said this, Erica, because there's something I want to look for, and it's on my things to do for next time we meet. But there's a quote that Deepak uses in the movie from the Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. And it's something like, when you are in creative mode, just the word creator, it means you're literally co-creating with God. He says something like that. So when you're in that creative space, you are in spirit.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And you can paint for 3 hours and can't even believe that 3 hours have gone by.
Yeah.
Runners have that sort of feeling. Gardeners have that, right? They can be in a garden for hours. So that when you are in that creative space, and whether it's athletic or creativity, you're in spirit. And so when we're meditating, it's the same thing. That's like when we're moving in yoga. Move with your breath, right? Yes. You breathe in, open. When you breathe out, close, right? So you're moving with that instead of fighting it. And the same applies when we're practicing the mantra or repeating the mantra. Mm-hmm. We're not pushing, we're not forcing, we're in that flow, we're in that stream, if you will. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yes, Jennifer. And then
I just wondered your thoughts in terms of like the gap. Mm-hmm. And the sense of like soul expression mm-hmm. and meditation, because it seems to me that in that stillness or in that gap, mm-hmm. that essence of soul, like what we bring mm-hmm. and finding a place to allow that to release or come out. Because in creativity, I think a lot of that soul expression comes out, whatever that thing is that makes us happier in that zone that Erica described. But I just think that, to me, I feel like that's the connection. It's that essence of soul. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I had this kind of aha moment where I thought about what you said, how you wake up in the morning and your mind starts turning and it gets so busy and the world does you. But then I thought about meditation and it's like, I finally got it. It's like, you do you first, you tap into your soul. You do you first, and then the rest of the day can pull you wherever you decide it goes or what you feed it. And I never really thought about it, but I finally just that kind of clicked for me that meditation was doing me first, the essence of me, before it got cluttered by everything else.
Right. And it can get very cluttered. And we can allow the clutter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did I show you this? I'll read it, but it's up here all the time. So it's saying primordial sound meditation, but any sort of mantra-based meditation takes your awareness from activity to quieter and quieter levels of the thinking process until you slip beyond thought into the silence of spirit and bump into yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That's good.
So that's, what is that? We talked about that, I think, day one about spirit. And why are we meditating? Oh, because it's relaxing. Oh, because it lowers the heart rate. Oh, it lowers blood pressure, or it helps the immune system. All the great things that we know that it does. But ultimately, why are we meditating? To connect with the stillness that's inside of each and every one of us. And what's in that stillness?
Wisdom.
You.
The spirit.
Spirit. And what's in spirit? Yeah. It's for us to discover. That's why we're here. Yes. Right? Mm-hmm. So tap into it more often. And that, see, that's where the creative energy comes from. That's why this course, when I started to write it, I'm like, okay, first of all, I think we need calm. Right? We need calm in amongst the storm. That's how it is called. And then it was like, okay, what else? What do I think people need? We need breath work. We need to just start to slow down and breathe. And then I think gratitude is a big, big part of it. And then I think creativity is something that's going to start to show up the more you tap into spirit. The more you tap into that stillness and silence, the more your creative energy starts to show. So we're going to talk about a little bit more of the creative part of who we are in the next two sessions too. But while I'm on this, another thing came to mind too, is healing. So meditation around healing, meditation around perfect health. I mean, that's a whole other topic. And what are we, this is a good one, because what are we feeding ourselves? Are we feeding ourselves toxicity? Are we feeding ourselves love and appreciation and kindness and all that stuff? I've often said, for me, meditation, the one thing that really shows up for me is the creative energy. And that can be a blessing and a bit of a curse, because sometimes I need five of me just to get through the things that I want to do and the creative projects that I want to work on. So it is a good thing. It's just how you manage everything. So, okay. So, to your point, Erica, gratitude, brings about joy. And it's interesting if we can find it in that moment, how it can just shift energy immediately where you start to feel. So if you're, even if you're in the middle of say you play soccer or something, and you're playing your soccer, and all of a sudden you're just like, yeah, wow, what I get to do, and I'm running and I'm feeling good, and there's that buzz, and then there's that overwhelming joy that you might feel when you're playing a sport that you love, or whatever it is you're doing, if you're playing the guitar. So keep doing the gratitude, keep doing the morning and the afternoon, and I would start to introduce to the future gratitude if you haven't done that already. So if you're doing three things you're grateful for in the morning, things that are already in your life, step into the future. Close your eyes for a minute and go, I really want that pool, whatever it is. And just have a look into the future and be grateful for something in the future. So check that out too. And that's an interesting exercise. It might be uncomfortable when you first start it, because it's not here yet. But where does everything start? Our imagination. Everything. Yeah. Okay. So I want to talk gratitude. Yeah. I want to just tap into that just a little bit more. So on Sunday was Mother's Day, and this was a particularly different year for all of us, because some of us maybe who have mothers couldn't be with their mothers or grandmothers or that mother figure, perhaps, or perhaps your mother's not living anymore, and that may be something that every year you celebrate that mother figure regardless if she's not in physical form or not. So during the class we did a little what's called an invisible, they're invisible bonds. So it's really just sending love and energy and appreciation to that mother figure. That's what we did in the class. So, we don't have to wait for Mother's Day. We don't have to wait. It doesn't even have to be a mother. It can be loving gratitude to whomever. And those are called invisible bonds, right? So sending somebody love and appreciation who maybe lives in Vancouver Island, right? That you maybe haven't seen for a little while. And just look at right now, at this time we're doing our meditation course, can we offer gratitude for those that maybe helped us to get here? Maybe, obviously, you're not driving anywhere, so nobody drove you here, but you know, maybe somebody's making you dinner right now, or maybe your kids aren't bugging you right now because they know you're taking a course or something. So, you know, just to even offer gratitude to maybe that person, those people, and just to say thank you for allowing me this time. So it's just, it's all those little tiny things that we can look at throughout our day. And I thought right now it might be nice just to do a little exercise. I love doing these exercises on a gift to someone, right? So again, invisible bonds. So let's just take our hands. We're going to create a little bit of heat. Really start to bring some nice warmth into the palms of your hands. We're going to place our right hand right over our heart center. Okay, so right hand over the heart center, and then let your left hand come over your right hand. And you may just want to close your eyes. Take a couple breaths in and out. And as that nice warmth starts to move into heart center, just think of someone in your life right now who may be in need of your love, right? Maybe somebody that can't see you right now. Maybe somebody who's suffering at the moment, perhaps. And maybe it's somebody that has passed away, that you miss them. So just get a nice, clear vision of this beautiful person in your mind. And offer them your gift. What might you say to them right now? What might you offer them? Is it a compliment? Maybe it's a big, beautiful hug. Just whatever you feel that they may need right now. And just notice how that makes you feel. And just sit with it and notice what arises. And see them receiving your gift. Are they smiling? Are they accepting? Are they maybe crying? Maybe they're giving you a big squeeze back. And notice how that makes you feel. And just sit with that. Notice what arises. Keeping your eyes closed, you can bring your hands down into your lap. And take a nice breath in and out. And gently open up your eyes. So that can be pretty powerful. Something that we can do, we have the ability to just send energy to whomever, whenever we choose, and send them our gratitude. Okay. So again, let's bring the hands together. We're going to keep those hands up once again. And again, place your right hand over your heart center and your left hand over your right, and draw the hands in nice and close to your body, closing your eyes once again. And we'll call this loving kindness meditation. So just draw inward into heart center. This is Anahata Chakra. And quietly to yourself, just repeat. Actually, you can do it out loud if you want to. Just repeat the words that I'll be speaking. May I be peaceful and happy. May I be safe from harm. May I be as healthy and strong as I can be. May I live with ease of well-being. And what else would you like to offer you? Just take a few moments here if you would and offer perhaps a compliment to yourself. Maybe an offer of love, appreciation, or gratitude. And notice how that makes you feel. Notice what arises here. Keeping the eyes closed, we can release the hands down. And again, just drawing a nice breath in and release the breath. And then gently open up the eyes again. So when's the last time you did that? When's the last time you offered yourself a compliment or love and appreciation? Yeah. Yeah. Might have been a bit awkward. Any judgment show up? Well, I got it. Yeah. So, you know, something else to practice as part of gratitude. Okay? Be grateful for you. You're awesome. You ever looked in the mirror and said, you're awesome? Gotta keep the ego intact, right? And know that everybody else is strong, beautiful. Oh, all of that too. David Simon, who was the co-founder of the Chopra Center, when he would greet people, you know, he wouldn't do this necessarily, but quietly he would say the phrase namaste to himself. Namaste means the light in me greets the light in you. And then he would add to that, I am neither above you nor am I beneath you. So whomever he met, it was all same playing ground, same field, right? Neither above you nor am I beneath you, right? So, and that's all judgment. That's judgment. We judge self, we judge others, we judge things, we judge everything. So that's a whole lesson too, but anyways, so... and you know what? That kind of brings me to the journal. So I've asked you to grab this journal for gratitude, but maybe some of you are journaling. Maybe it's a practice that you've had for a long time. If you haven't, I would highly recommend that you start to journal a little bit. And it can be anything, you guys. It can be, you can write out, you know, oh, what a shitty day I had, whatever you want. It can be a dumping ground if you want it to be. It can be gratitude, the future gratitude. It can be insights. It can be creativity. Anything you want it to be. And it can be used for intention setting as well. And a great idea actually is if you have an intention for something to show up in your life, write it down, date it. It's my intention, da-da-da-da-da. And when it shows up, because it might, it probably will, offer gratitude. And I'm going to give you an example just of something. And this just happened recently. So I wrote down on April 6th of this year, it's my intention to provide free yoga to our medical emergency caregivers, frontline heroes. I wrote that down. So that was an intention I had April 6th. And then I looked at The first person that joined was May 9th. So I went back to my book because I remembered writing it down. So remember, I think I said at one point, you write an intention down and we let it go. This is what we're doing in our meditation. We're letting it go. It doesn't mean you didn't do anything to get there, but we've let that intention release. And what happens is things start to perhaps show up to support our intention. So my volunteer team showed up to support the intention. I put out an email, help me out. People started pouring in. So that's how intentions can happen. So anyway, I just wrote, first person signed up on May 9th, and I wrote thank you. Right? So use these if you choose to for your intention setting, if you want to. Right? But do acknowledge when it shows up. And if you're really specific about an intention, and I wouldn't be too specific about dates, but if you are, and you put down a date and it doesn't show up, maybe don't forget there's a gestation period for everything, right? So give it time. And if it's in your heart center, it's meant to be, it will probably show up. But this is where sometimes we get too attached to something. And then what is that? Then that causes more stress. So we have to meditate more. Oh, have any of you ever done or heard of the Artist's Way? This is a 12-week program. But anyway, I wanted to just talk to you about it because in this, there's something that she recommends every single day. It's called the morning pages. So it is journaling, but it's morning pages. And you have to write out three big, large pieces of paper every single morning. And it's the best exercise ever. It's a pretty cool exercise. So anyway, you can do that too. She calls it morning pages. And it's just really, it's really just kind of a dumping ground. And yeah, okay. So are we all pretty clear about intention setting? Yeah? Anybody has a question, I can unmute. Or we can save it till the end. No? Yeah. So intention, right? Everything starts here, right? It's just a thought, it's an idea, it's an image. All starts with intention. And if it's important enough, and it's in our heart, and it feels right, and you know, because you feel it in your body, that becomes the intention. And it can be the intention for calm. It can be the intention for peace. It can be the intention for something in your work. It could be intention for whatever we choose in our lives. Okay. I wanted to just mention to back up a little bit about thoughts being part of the process during meditation. Four things typically happen when we're meditating. So one is we repeat the mantra. That happens when we meditate, right? Right. Number two, we will fall into the gap at some point. And we don't know for how long because we're not timing it. We're not measuring it. It's not measurable, but we will fall into that space in between our thoughts called the gap. And that's where there is the potential for anything to exist, anything to show up. Number three is you will have thoughts, okay? And number four, you may fall asleep. And how do we know we're falling asleep? Typically, the body's slumped over, perhaps. You're sliding across your wall, perhaps. Maybe you're drooling a little bit, maybe. And it doesn't matter, really. If you feel that you're sleeping all the time during your meditation, then you just want to maybe have a look at your sleep patterns. What are your sleep patterns like? Okay, are you getting to bed on time? And are you getting enough sleep? So maybe you're not getting enough sleep. Okay. Yeah. And what are you doing right before bed? You know, are you watching the news right before bed? Are you checking your phone right before bed? Are you going from screen right to sleep? So these are all things too that we can start to shift to. Okay. Okay, so I want to take some time now to actually do a meditation together, a nice group meditation together. So here we are. Let's close our eyes. Get comfortable. Take a few breaths in and out. Yeah, so settling into that breath once again, right? Settling into that nice quiet place in our breath, in our body. Finding comfort here. Once you've taken a moment or two to bring your awareness to stillness, to being here, drop that seed of intention in the fertile ground. Feel free to create your own. What's your heart's desire? And once that seed has been planted, this is where we're just going to release that intention. Right? Let the universe look after the details. You may just want to take a nice little bit of a breath in and let the breath out. And this is where we'll start the gentle repetition of the mantra. Om Vardhanam Namah. Om Vardhanam Namah. Remember that the repetition of the sound is gentle and relaxed. No need to force, no need to concentrate. Om Vardhanam Namah. From time to time, you may notice your attention drifts to a thought in your mind, maybe a sensation in your body. Or maybe a noise in your environment. And anytime you notice that you've drifted away from the sound, very gently, easily, effortlessly, draw your awareness back to the mantra. Om Vardhanam Namah. Continue meditating until you hear my voice, and at that time, we'll stop the repetition of the sound, sitting quietly with eyes closed. Watch the time. And we'll release the mantra now. And sitting quietly with eyes closed. Drawing a nice breath in, just gently release the breath out. And if you choose to, you can bring your hands together at the heart center, chanting the sound of Om. Deep breath in. Om. Offering a little bow of gratitude. Thank you. Namaste.
So for the homework, 15 minutes. We're just going to take it up a little bit. Same thing. Morning, afternoon. So again, not to be used before bed, not intended as a tool sleep, and it's not to be used in activities. So if you are on the treadmill, we're not Om Bardha Nam Namah, Om Bardha Nam Namah. We're not meditating as we're running, okay? So it's not to be used in activity. We're not multitasking. And it's not to be used in a crisis. It's not meant to be, things have elevated. Oh, I gotta go meditate, right? This is where we take that little 3-minute breath break if we're feeling elevated. The process of meditation, day in and day out, hopefully we don't get to crisis mode. That's the intention, part of the intention around meditation too. We manage everything that's coming to us. So I would recommend as you move through your week until we meet again on Saturday, is to just find your own intention for your own meditation. So you can go all the way back to maybe the reason why you decided to take this course in the first place, right? And don't say it's to relieve stress. What's the opposite of stress, right? So put it in a positive state as though it already exists. Or it's my intention to be peaceful today. It's my intention to find calm in my life. Okay? And I would use the same mantra that we've been using, Om Bardha Nam Namah. And that's it. And we'll see you, whoever cannot stay, and that's fine. No worries. We'll see you on Saturday. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate
you. Too.
Have an awesome night.
Thank you.
You too.
Cheryl.
You too.
Great. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.